access to markets.
Hello, listeners and viewers. We're back on No Quasi Unlocking the Access to Markets. That's what we're talking about. So hello, Cape Town. Hello, SA. Hello, Africa. We're here to dominate the marketplace and impose the mind and the will of Christ in the marketplace. So if you're a world changer, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your aunt, tell your uncle, tell your cousin. And wants to get into business, that we're talking all things business, right? All things kingdom business, all things access, right? So many pillars have been laid in terms of the foundation of what we're trying to do, right? And the key things that we want to unlock is access to markets and access to capital, right? So when we talk about access to markets, it's a very simple thing. It's like I think about it from a door perspective, right? So when you get to the door, you knock on a door if the door is closed, right? And I love the word of God. For me is always the foundation of everything that we do, right? Because in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being, right? And you know, He says, knock and the door shall be opened, right? For me, that's always a very interesting perspective, right? When I say I'm instigating my season, my summer, my, my change, right? It basically means that because the Lord said, for as long as the earth remains, right? There are seasons. There's winter, there's summer, there's day, there's night. Therefore, now that our light has come, oh, arise, Cape Town, arise, Jerusalem, for your light has come. Therefore, you know, when we talk about light, it's because we've got access to knowledge. We have been enlightened through the word of God. We've been given knowledge on the skills and understanding of what we need to do in business, right? And so the word of God says, knock and the door shall be opened, right? There are doors when we are gaining access. Doors that someone is on the other side, so someone needs to open up the door for us, right? He says He's given us the keys into the kingdom of God. So how do we gain access to what we know He has given us to have dominion over those areas? And those areas are in the marketplace, and those areas are business, and those areas are government, and those areas are politics, and those areas are ministry, and those areas are community development, and those areas are schools, and there are hospitals, and there are administrators, and there are mountains of media. All those marketplaces have got doors. That's the commonality with each and all of them, right? And so every one of us have tried to open up a door. So we can sort of like gain perspective, right? There are doors where we knock because someone we know is on the inside. And because we know that someone is inside, we know that someone will open up the door for us. So it means there's certain things that we need to know. People we need to know when we talk about strategic relationships. Someone will say, you can stand on my shoulders to be able to use my credibility in order to be able to gain access into that corporate, right? And so when we talk about these doors, there are doors where we knock so that it shall be open to us. He says, ask. And guys, so when we ask someone to open up the door, it's because we know somebody and we are unlocking a relationship. But there are doors, entrepreneurs, that we need to break down.
Come on.
There are systems that are set up that do not line up with the word of God because they are not kingdom systems. They are world systems. There are systems that you don't negotiate with.
Sure.
There are systems that need to be broken down where you sit and you say, this system does not line up with the way that I build a business. Bribery, I cannot do it because it does not line up with the word of God. You know, compromising yourself, what you compromise to get, you will not keep. There are certain things that we need to be able to look at as we go out into the marketplace to dominate and gain access to markets, right? So as we're opening up these doors or asking these doors to be opened up to us or breaking down some of these doors, it means that we're gaining access, access to markets, right? Access is the ability or opportunity to gain access into your place, to enter a place. Yeah. So the access to market is, the marketplace is the arena that we all love as entrepreneurs. The arena where commercial dealings, right, take place is where there's a willing buyer. There's a willing seller. Mm-hmm. When I say willing buyer, I'm talking about our consumers. Yeah. We're talking about our customers. Mm-hmm. When I'm saying a willing seller, that's you, entrepreneur. That's your business. That's your puzzle shop. Yeah. That's your restaurant. That's your commercial building that you own. That's you. You are the entrepreneur and business owner.
Yeah.
So you are the willing seller and there's a willing buyer. Mm-hmm. So when those two meet, a marriage happens because there is an exchange of your value in the marketplace, and in exchange you get monetary exchange, which is the money that you receive, right? So when we're saying access to markets, we can play in a domestic market, we can also play in an international market. So penetrating access to markets as entrepreneurs and business owners is that we're going out into the marketplace and we're gaining market share. And when we talk about market share in terms of the place where you want to place, for example, a manufacturing industry, right? It would have other players, which we call competitors, that are already there offering the goods and services, right? Therefore, your market penetration, your access is the ability is to go out into that place and take a stake for yourself. If there is 100,000 potential clients in the place where you want to play in manufacturing, and out of those, they already, 80 of them have already outsourced and they are doing business with your competitors X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
It means really the remaining market share is 20%. That is the one that is uncontested market share. But the one that's already contested is when you go out and you compete with the person that already has that opportunity or that contract or already servicing those customers, and you find or provide them an alternative solution, so they move from buying from you, company blue, and they start buying from you, smaller player, which is company green. Now what you've done is you've done market share from a competitor. So gaining access to markets is so important because we've talked about how to build a business, we've talked about dominion, we've talked about mental transformation, we've talked about the ability to be able to create a value proposition and really have something of value that you're giving to the marketplace.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about how do you penetrate this access to markets when you want to play in a domestic place.
Okay.
But we talked about building a global business.
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of building a global business, it means that you've got to be able to penetrate and access markets on a global scale, because international trade has got different rules and different rules of engagement and different players, right? And therefore, your value proposition really needs to stand out. So there are doors that you need to understand that you're not negotiating with as an entrepreneur. There are doors that need to be broken down because there are systems, right, that are becoming a hindrance in what you are trying to do in the marketplace. But then there are doors where you're negotiating because you're gaining access and you're accessing those markets through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What money can buy, relationships can buy. There's a currency in terms of what you do not have. How do you buy those things? Money, like I've said, is the end product, but there's a tool that buys you the access of what you do not have, which is the product, which is money, right?
Yeah.
There's a certain way that you buy this product that you do not have, but the same way that that is a currency that you're using to be able to buy a product that you do not have, in terms of market access, you need to have the strategy in terms of what is your strategy in terms of your differentiator, what's going to stand out in terms of how you're going to penetrate those market access.
Yeah.
What we call a unique selling proposition.
Okay.
What is unique? What's your story? Like, if everyone is selling in an FMCG, like products and services, and those products and services, everything that you can think about, right? In your cabinet, in your bathroom at home, everything that's in your cabinet, in a kitchen, all of those products and services, FMCG products that are generally, they're produced by Unilever, they're produced by all the bigger brands, Tiger brands and all of them, right? So they all have consumers. You can understand that, right? Now, the reason that you are buying a lot of the products is because it's the things that you saw growing up, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's why it resonates. Now, imagine if you went into those same establishment and started to see a lotion that is different from the one that you saw when you're growing up. What would entice you to buy it? Mm-hmm. That's someone that's trying to gain access to markets, right? Yeah. So you might try it out to see if you like it. And if yeah. you like it, then you decide whether this really works out for me. It's new. It's innovative. It's packaged well. And because I like it and it works for me, I'm going to use it again. Yeah. That means that player has been able to penetrate the markets. But you need to think about it from a small, medium, micro, and emerging businesses. How do we get our businesses to go and compete when you think about it? All of those products are already being bought from the biggest player. Yeah. Why on earth would they shift that market share to you, or how do you penetrate it to be able to gain access? It's usually what we call a unique selling proposition, okay. something that will be unique, like unique to you in every way possible. Mm-hmm. So to provide a little bit of context, right? Unique selling proposition is, it's your unique story. It's yeah. like your value offering to the marketplace that is competing with the rest of the market, right? Mm. So what I want to ask anyone that's in business or in entrepreneurship, you've got to think about is, what is your story? Like, what is it that resonates about you? I've talked about our unique selling proposition in our business, which is our value proposition, to say that we provide facilities management services, but it's underpinned by transformation and job creation impact mm. and enterprise development, right? So someone else could sit and say, I provide cleaning services, but through community development. Because the way that we do cleaning services is we go out into communities and we employ the local community. So what we do is localization. We use the local community in terms of the empowerment of locals, in terms of the jobs that are created. So yes, you're providing cleaning services, but it's underpinned by community development, right? Someone else could sit and say, I'm providing plumbing services, and plumbing services, I'm doing it through an innovative tool because I'm using technology. And the technology is an app, and the app allows you to book all of your plumbing services. Mm. So it tells you that I'm going to be there in 2 hours, and that's my turnaround time. Therefore, I am providing plumbing services, and the unique selling proposition is that we're using technology and app. Therefore, we're forward thinking in our approach, yeah. right? So if I am providing like a product for my face, and I say that my products are, economically friendly in terms of cost, but also yeah. they're just friendly in terms of the environment, yeah. right? That is a unique selling proposition. So someone is sitting and saying, okay, fine. From an economic perspective, you're cheaper, but you're also using products that are generally very, you know, friendly on your face, yeah, and they natural, are friendly yeah. to the environment, mm-hmm. but also the cost itself is like commercially viable, right? So that's basically what we call a unique selling proposition. Mm. So when you're talking about a business is able to secure work, and we go out and we knock on the doors of corporates, and we knock on the doors of government, and we knock on the doors of the man on the street, and mm-hmm. we say, please come into my shop and buy my products, right? That is what we call supply chain and procurement, which is the key pillar. That as much as you've got your unique selling proposition, a lot of people have got a unique story and a unique selling proposition and a unique value to offer the market, right? Yeah. But what we do is we assume someone is just going to come looking for Nokwazi and look for you everywhere. Where are you, Nokwazi? Where are your services? Where can I yeah. find you? Yeah. Why should anyone care? Because if they don't know about it, then clearly I haven't marketed my story well. Sure. And the fact that the people that I'm looking to sell to, if they cannot find me, yeah. then there's obviously a lack in my strategy in terms of how I am accessing the markets that I want to penetrate, yeah. right? So if I am selling as an entrepreneur or business owner, and I'm selling to corporates, mm-hmm. how will I enter the marketplace of corporates? How will I knock on the doors of corporates? Like, what would be my strategy to go and embark on a strategy to say, how do I sell to government institutions? How do I sell to the financial institutions? How do I sell to manufacturing sector? That requires supply chain and procurement. Mm. There's a process and a strategy that they use. There are two strategies that are like what I would call key strategies. A lot of private sector will say we're either centralizing our procurement or it's decentralized, right? When I say it's centralized, right, it means they are a huge FMCG and their name is Tiger Brands. Their head office is centered in Johannesburg, Bryanston, right? So the strategy would be from that perspective is you would think when you think FMCG, like you think about their products, you would think that they are maybe operating from a distribution center. That's one of their many units. The head office is sitting in Johannesburg. That's where the CEO sits. That's where the key stakeholders sit. Yeah. That's where the chief procurement officer would most likely sit. So that's where the decisions are being made. So when we talk about strategy, we need to understand as entrepreneurs that when you say that my target client is a corporate sector, how will I penetrates the markets, right? Access to markets to be able to gain a contract with the Tiger Brands. It means I need to know the strategy of Tiger Brands.
Sure.
I need to understand, are they decentralized or are they centralized? Centralized means I need to be able to understand the strategy from a head office perspective because that's where the decisions are being made. So when I go to a distribution center sitting in KZN, that's a plant. It's a distribution center. I'll find they're making Beacon Suites or whatever it is that they're making. And whatever they're producing there, you would be wanting to bid for cleaning services, but they're not making the decision. You can build a relationship. You can understand what are their challenges. You understand in terms of what's the problem that you're going to solve in the marketplace. But you need to understand from access to markets is in order to be able to penetrate that Tiger Brands is you need to go to head office in Bryanston. But then when you think about it, the strategy of decision makers is so huge, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what we call a hierarchy of relationships. There are C-suites that we talked about. It's the CEO, that's the CFO, that's the chief procurement officer. And then you've got the executives. That's like the exco team.
Yeah.
You've got then what we call operations. Those are the operators, operations managers, procurement managers, financial managers. Then there's also what we call, that's what we call a boiler room. A boiler room is when you go to a plant and you'll meet the production manager. He operates differently in terms of his strategy, vice versa, a CEO.
True.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when we say hierarchy of relationships, now that you know that your strategy is to approach a Tiger Brand and you know that the strategy that they're using is centralized, just assuming, and the centralization is decisions are made at head office in terms of the procurement of services. Now you need to know they are buying decisions. What informs them? You would have to understand the strategy of Tiger Brands. You'd need to know the executive level. What are they saying? How are decisions being made? You need to understand the boiler room. Like what are the challenges? What are the problems from a plant perspective? How are you going to provide this cleaning services and this career services and these catering services at a plant level, right? And then we call technical. Technical are the users. Those are the people that get to experience the cleaning. Those are the people that get to experience your courier services. Those are the people that get to experience your catering services. That's three dimensions of strategies, right?
It is.
So supply chain and procurement becomes of vital importance because you would have to understand in terms of if it's centralized and the decisions are made at head office, how do you bid for the work? How will you know that head office has taken out a request for a proposal, right? So tenders are done in government. A lot of people struggle to get into private sector because of the strategy that's being used. It's called a request for proposals. They decide on their database, who are they going to invite to bid for the proposal? It's not on advertised anywhere else. You won't see it on any newspaper. You won't see it on any local plant to yeah. say that, you know what, they've taken out services for cleaning services. It's literally someone sitting at procurement in Johannesburg who will send out to 3 or 4 at the most key suppliers that they decide, may you please submit a proposal.
Sure.
So you are busy naming and claiming yeah. without understanding yeah, the strategy. This is why we talked about the importance of knowledge that translates into understanding, right? Mm. You need to understand the knowledge that you are able to gain over time. You need to comprehend what does it mean. It's one thing to understand that I need to develop a value proposition. It's one thing to understand that I need to go and access markets. Yeah. Now, this is where when we talk about comprehension, you've got to take this that you know and be able to have a what I call to SMMEs actionable ideas of what you need to implement. Mm. To go and do research is an actionable idea. You sit down, you research this target client that you want. How are they making decisions, right? They're making decisions, they're decentralized or they're centralized. Now that you know that, who are the decision makers when we talk about a hierarchy of relationships? Mm. You understand the exco, you understand the operators, the boiler room, the technical. Then you then decide, now you're trying to access a door. Who can I build a relationship with, right? You can then, what I call is, once you understand your research, right, and you've understood in terms of how they're making decisions,
yeah.
you would be able to develop what we call an entry-level value proposition. Remember when we're talking about value proposition, we talked about that you have something inside of you, you want to exchange it for monetary value in mm-hmm. the market, but now it requires for you to understand what is the value that I'm going to offer to Tiger Brands, right, mm-hmm. that will be of commercial benefit to them to be able to procure that service.
Yeah.
This is why if you go and you sell cleaning services alone might not be the door that you can unlock to get the opportunity. There are hundreds upon thousands of cleaning companies mm-hmm. in South Africa alone, and hundreds and thousands of catering companies, and hundreds and thousands of courier services companies. Why on earth should Tiger Brands give you an opportunity?
Sure. Sure. Let's hold that thought and hear what the people have to say this morning with regards to, access, or rather gaining access, to the marketplace. This one is from Shireen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a beautiful inspiration, sisters. I'm instigating my miracle and my season. Hallelujah. It's springtime. It's time for harvest.
Thank you so much, Shireen. We want to know the markets that you're trying to get access from. And also, if you have any questions that you'd like to pose to Osis Nogwaz, who is live in studio right now.
Hi, good morning, Sake. May I kindly have the link? I now missed out on the whole program and the link because I had an incoming call. A long distance call, so I couldn't listen. Would you kindly send me the link, please?
I'll definitely do that for you. I'll send you the link. Minister Atta Machembe is saying, good morning, Saika. I love this woman of God, says Nogwaz. I can't wait to hear what God has deposited in his spirit. We are taking over all 7 mountains. I love that. And someone else is asking for her details, if I'm not mistaken. But to continue where we left off, Nogwaz, and before, you know, I let you go because time, right? Just in summary for someone who is listening, who is an entrepreneur, who has just entered the marketplace and who has zero idea as to how to go about accessing the markets they want to be in. Just to sum up, you know, the topic for today, what could you say to that entrepreneur listening right now?
Okay, so one of the key things as entrepreneurs is, I was saying yesterday, when we're going to talk about dominion, mm-hmm. we need to start having actionable ideas and actionable items that we walk away with, that we go and we implement when we're gaining this access to knowledge and skills and understanding, right? So one of the three things that we're talking about today is that as we're accessing markets, it's very important for you to have a unique selling proposition. Like, what is unique? What stands out about your business? Yes, you're providing cleaning services. Yes, you're providing catering services. Yes, you're providing courier services. But why you? What is it that you're going to do that's going to be a unique selling proposition to that particular audience? I'm going to do plumbing services underpinned by an innovative technology through an app. I'm providing cleaning services whilst underpinned by community development. I'm providing career services, but at the heart of it is I am passionate about youth development. So the people that we employ in our career services company is we've identified youth that we have trained and developed to be able to drive these vehicles. And through that, it's like an owner driver where we're empowering the youth to own their own fleet of vehicles. Yes, we've got the overriding perspective of our overlooking the output that they do, but I'm providing the courier services. At the heart of it is the empowerment of the youth, because that's where my passion lies. We need to start building the kind of global businesses that are standing out because we understand our value proposition, but we also know how to use that value proposition to create a unique selling proposition. Selling is a practical thing. It's a verb. It's not sitting around and naming and claiming stuff. It's going out into the marketplace and knocking on a door. So we talked about now the aspect of, now that you know your unique selling proposition, you go out and you knock the door. You're accessing the markets. How do you access the markets? You access the markets by understanding your client. When we talk about the research, research your client, understand through just desktop exercise of going onto their website and saying, what is your strategy? Is it centralized procurement? Is it decentralized? If you don't come across those words, pick up the phone, ask them, I would like to offer you catering services. May I ask if decisions are made at head office or can I go directly to the plant in KZN? They will tell you what the strategy looks like. Now that you know who to approach, it's a procurement manager. What are you going to say to that procurement manager? You need to have an entry-level value proposition. You need to understand Tiger Brands. You need to understand what stands out in their strategy. What is it that underpins all these things that they are doing, right? They have been so innovative, and I believe they've had the most extraordinary ESD executive of our time. Yes, he's left to pursue something else, but when you look at the way that their strategy has been put together in relation to procurement and supply chain, at the core of it is a lot of enterprise and supply development. So you do your research, you understand what it is, you understand their aggregator model in terms of how they're procuring all of the goods and services that they need, and you put forward something that will be of value to them. You don't just say, I want to come in and do courier services, I want to come in and do catering services, I want to come in and do cleaning services. At the back of your mind, know that there are hundreds upon thousands of you guys. So when you get that opportunity with the procurement manager and they see your email, it must really stand out with why you. What is unique with your selling? Yes, I get the fact that you want catering services, but what will be the proposition? What will be the value added benefit of them even giving you that meeting?
Sure.
So really we're talking about three pillars. We haven't got to a point where we're even now engaging the client in terms of how you put together your presentation. What information do you put out there? When someone says, can we meet, or you ask for a meeting, what will be the strategy that you're going to use in terms of telling your story? You can't go there unprepared without a company profile. You can't go there without research and a presentation put together that you're going to present. This is what you understand about them. This is your unique selling proposition. Here's where the marriage happens. And that's like one opportunity. I call it the elevator pitch. You come in there and you close this deal so that someone could sit and say, okay, when we talk about they invite certain companies to participate in the request for proposal to be able to put forward their proposal. You want to be one of those four. And we want it to be ingrained in that decision maker that this is the winning team. Mm. Because you must also understand they need to sell you in the corporate. So when you have sold yourself to them and you've given them and equipped them with enough to say you are the company that's going to stand out, yeah, they will be able to sell you internally. But this is all the science that goes into these things that we're doing in business and entrepreneurship. And this is why the show is called Unlocked with Nokwazi, unlocking knowledge, unlocking skills, unlocking understanding, so that we can go out and dominate. Can we just stop talking about this dominion as if it's some theoretical concept? Sure. Can we go out and take over the marketplaces of all the different industries and all the different medias, and all these different mountains that have been put up? Yeah. We're believers. We have everything that we need in Christ. We have the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is Yahweh Elohim, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ask or think, through the mighty power at work within us. He is able. He is God all by himself. His character is good. His integrity is good. He is the sure foundation. So it's time for us to stop talking about theory and to dominate. And so last week I said, let's go out and do it. Now I am equipping you with how you go out and you take over industries. Sure. And we take over the mountains of media, that these places need to be dominated with building kingdom businesses. Let's impose the mind and the will of Christ in the marketplace, because he is Lord. He is master of those industries. No entrepreneur should be struggling in this time and season where we are instigating our own miracles and just stepping into the water and just saying, God, in the name of Jesus, if God be God, who can be against us?
Come on.
Entrepreneurs, who can be against us? You know, we want to start having the kind of knowledge that has got practicality in what you ought to do. Yeah. You've got to understand supply chain and procurement. You are in business. You've got to understand strategy. You are in business. You've got to understand access to markets. What's the point of us talking about access to capital? You need money, but you don't even know how to penetrate those markets. We've got to start thinking about how we're no longer just an aspect of an idea, this business that you're building. It's something that is tangible. And that's why we need to dream it. You need to see those buildings. You need to see those hotels. You need to see yourself on that world stage impacting thousands upon thousands of entrepreneurs. And when you can see it, you sort of like have a roadmap. This is the direction I ought to go. That defines the relationships that you entertain and relationships that you need to let go of. True. That defines how you spend your time.
Most importantly, how you spend your time with who, why?
You know what I mean? My time is valuable. But more importantly, it then decides. When I look at a person and they talk to me in a meeting, right? And they're telling me this very beautiful story. The way that they are spending their time tells me whether they're going to make it or not. If you're saying to me that you want to penetrate and be the best cleaning company in the financial sector services space, and you've not gone in to knock on the doors of all the top four financial institutions, and you don't understand the strategy in terms of who they are and how they operate, and you don't know in terms of how to build strategic relationships, but more importantly, you're not even taking the time to just understand, learn, know, and grow. You're telling me a nice, beautiful story, but it's got no actionable items.
Yeah.
This is why we said last week, you want to become a musician, go into the studio and make an album. Cannot be more practical than that. Yeah. You want to be the best world speaker. Then start speaking in the platforms and do it with diligence and do it with honor and do it with integrity and do it with research as if you are already on a world stage.
Come on.
Make sense? Yeah. You want to own a hair salon? Start braiding everyone's hair in your home. Everyone should be, you know, aware of your skill set. We are talking about dominion as entrepreneurs. We're talking about dominion as believers. We're talking about access to markets. We're talking about building businesses. We're talking about making a change. We're complaining about the status quo of things. And yet we're not using what God has given us to say, I'm going to take what I have. This is all I have. And I'm going to run with it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to run with it. And I'm going to prepare as if I'm going to war.
Sure. Sure, I want us to end it there for this week. We have a lot to unlock. We have a lot to unpack. And we need you to jump on the wagon so that we can, I mean, of course, for Osis Nokwazi to best understand where you are and where you need to go,
yeah,
so that she can direct your steps, you know, with the Spirit of God leading her. Next week, briefly, what can we expect from you?
Okay, so next week, we unfortunately could not have the most extraordinary bank on the platform, but we promise you that they're coming on board to talk about access to capital. So I hope that this was a good foundation that we just set up. And then as I talk to you that we're going to bring in an amazing pastor that's going to talk to us as a thought leader around the aspect of the God first principle, especially from a business perspective. What does it entail? And for me, one of the things that I get asked quite a lot is, what is the one thing that you've implemented that has just put you at a different sort of like level in business? And I've always been trying to find just one thing to explain, right? Yeah. Mine is, in the beginning, God. So God comes before anything.
Yes.
And so because God has been my God first principle, he has to come first in my finances. He has to come first in how I manage every aspect of my life, right? He has to come first in all the principles that I talk about in business. It can't be Nokwazi plus Osa plus God. It's Nokwazi plus God. Osa plus God. Anything that has to do with me plus God, because he's the sure foundation. And because he says that I knew you before you formed in your mother's womb and have appointed you as a prophet to nations. When God says, I know all the plans I have for you, they're good plans, they're not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Why then would I go to another manufacturer to try and figure me out, you know?
Sure.
And why would I go to another manufacturer to tell me how I need to build this business?
Yeah.
And how would I go to another manufacturer to tell me how I ought to manage the finances that God has placed in our hands to manage? Because we're just managers, right? And so that's what we're going to be unpacking in terms of that beautiful slot. And then the third aspect is talking to Western Cape government. And we'll be talking about obviously creating a conducive environment for SMMEs to thrive, right? And after that, we're going into the Women's Month, which is going to be exciting.
Yay.
We want to talk to women entrepreneurs in different industries, like people that are doing really innovative, forward-thinking approaches to business, but also just I want to talk about the ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Those are the women for me that resonate. Just ordinary. They're like your aunt. They're like your mom. They're like your sister next door. And yet they've stepped out with faith to go and do things that they never even thought were humanly possible.
Sure.
So today I encourage entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs, let's stop talking. Let's get serious with what we're doing. Cape Town, this is where God has placed us to be in the season. Western Cape, God has given us this territory. Can we dominate, but dominate by going out to do something that we know will produce results? No need for errors. Try and test and figure it out. Go and seek knowledge. Go and seek skills. Go and seek understanding and go and implement. Don't sit with it. You can't just be, I'm transformed by the word of God. I'm transformed by all that I've understood with knowledge and skills on business. And then I sit with it and I just pray to God that God, in the name of Jesus, give me dominion. No, no, no. It doesn't fall from the sky. You need to go out and you knock on the door, and some doors you break down and you say, get out of my way, door, in the name of Jesus. I'm entering this thing. I'm entering this marketplace. I'm dominating that manufacturing industry. I'm dominating that media platform. I'm dominating the area of politics. I'm dominating the area of government. I'm dominating the areas of community. We need to get serious and go out and do stuff so that we can impose the mind and the will of Christ in the marketplace.
That is all we have to do.
That is all we have.
Get up and go.